Today on More to Life, Me in the Mirror. Are you struggling to love yourself? Let us help you see yourself through God's eyes and celebrate your dignity as a beloved child of God. 877-573-7825.
All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Me in the Mirror. We're talking about the challenge I think we all have in learning to love ourselves, especially as God loves us. And I think that when I say the phrase love yourself, I think a lot of us get uncomfortable with that idea because it feels maybe prideful or wrong somehow. And it also seems a little challenging because we all have things about ourselves that we don't like, whether that's because of experiences we've been through or mistakes we've made or just things that we don't particularly care about within ourselves that are hard to change. It's hard to not identify with those weaknesses and limitations, but the Christian is called to see themselves through God's eyes, and He sees us as whole, healed, and godly, and grace-filled people that we are cooperating with His grace to become in time. And so let's talk about what it means to love yourself and overcome the challenges that make it difficult to love ourselves the way God wants us to. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
You know, I think that being a parent has really helped me understand what you mean, what we mean when we're saying how God sees us. So often we get the idea from either people who don't really understand faith or movies or TV shows that told us, you know, this is a Catholic belief system as part of some slightly anti-Catholic joke. And we think it's all about we have to feel guilty, we have to feel less than, we have to be kind of attacking ourselves all the time to stay humble so that we can continue to work toward being what God wants us to be. Let's take a step back as parents for a minute. Even if you're not a parent, you can put yourself in this place for a moment. When you're raising a child, do you look at a newborn baby and say, I don't know, you're just not doing good enough, you're not walking and talking yet, you know, you're not able to make the sign of the cross yet, you're not able to write your dissertation yet, what is wrong with you, you're not good enough? Do we look at our child as they learn to walk, and when they stumble and fall down, do we criticize them for it? No, in all these things, we have hope for their future, we're cheering them on, we're loving them. We see who they can be and who they are striving to be with every little tiny thing they do, even when they fall down, even when they make mistakes, even when they drive us crazy sometimes. We are loving them, encouraging them, and knowing and hoping the best for them.
Well, I like the way you put that because, you know, you when we look at our kids, even when they mess up,
yes,
we don't see them for their mess ups. We see them for what we believe they can be. And we help them become that. And that is how God sees us.
And that's because we love them so much. And that's a fraction, tiny, I can't even do fractions that tiny, of how much God loves us. And He's always there to help us do better. He's always there to help us see ourselves through His eyes. instead of the eyes of the world or the evil one that's always trying to drag us down.
877-573-7825. Today's show titled Me in the Mirror, as we talk about loving ourselves. What does that really mean for the Christian? And let's face it, we all carry some baggage, you know, whether it's from past sins or wounds or just plain old human weakness. We all have something that tempts us to believe that we're unlovable. What makes it hard for you to love yourself the way God wants you to? Are you upset with yourself for mistakes you've made or sins you've committed? Are you frustrated with yourself because you keep failing to make a change that you want to make? Maybe you keep hearing negative thoughts that tear you down, or voices in your head from your parents or past romantic partners or other people telling you that you'll never be enough. Whatever's stopping you from celebrating how beautiful you are in God's eyes, let us help you move through it and start loving yourself as God loves you. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And you might be wondering, well, what is that, and how could it possibly help me learn to love myself? Well, great questions. When St. John Paul was Pope, he asked a huge question, actually. He said, you know, basically, if we looked at everything God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation, history, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships?
St. John Paul's theology of the body gives us a powerful reminder that our worth doesn't come from our perfection. It comes from being created in the image and likeness of God. That truth doesn't disappear just because we've messed up, or because we have scars from things we've been through in the past, or have things about ourselves that we don't like or wish we could change. In spite of everything, God loves us unconditionally. We are His beloved sons and daughters, and He wants to teach us what it means to love ourselves as He loves us.
Now, in Christian terms, you know, love isn't just a warm, fuzzy feeling. It's the commitment to work for someone's ultimate good. So when it comes to loving ourselves, that doesn't mean turning a blind eye to our faults or pretending that we're flawless. It means committing to working for our ultimate good, to becoming the people God created us to be. You know, it's about embracing the work we need to do every day to seek healing, to cultivate forgiveness, to pursue our growth and flourishing, not out of a sense of having to earn God's love or approval, but because seeing ourselves through His eyes makes us excited about what we can become through His grace. The theology of the body teaches us that our bodies, our souls, our whole persons are made for love. And even in our brokenness, God sees our value. So let's start seeing it too. Loving ourselves means refusing to give up on ourselves, because God never does. So let's talk it out. What's making it difficult for you to love yourself the way God wants you to? Whatever it is, let us help you move past it and start experiencing your love and dignity and worth as a beloved son or daughter of God. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you and we bring you ourselves, our sins, our brokenness, our weakness, our limitations, and our strengths, and the good things that we are capable of. And we ask you to receive everything that we are and to help us see ourselves as you see us, to see ourselves as the whole, healed, godly, and grace-filled people that we were created to be, and that you are working through your grace to help us become once again. Help us to trust in that vision, to cooperate with your grace, to become the saints that you created us to be, and to rejoice, even in our weakness, at the wonderful things you want to do with us, in us, and through us. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, Me in the Mirror, struggling to love yourself for whatever reason. We want to help you see yourself through God's eyes and celebrate your dignity as a beloved son or daughter of God. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Teresa, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Cleveland.
Hi, Teresa. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I'm struggling because I've always based my self-worth on my work and what I do for a living and how well I do my work or not. And I recently changed jobs, and this place that I'm in, it's almost like a catch-22. They want to, like, you know, if I do something and I make a mistake, then they're all over me and they jump at me and, you know, you should know this, or, you know, why don't you know this? And I just feel completely degraded, where in my past employments, all through my working history, I've always been, you know, people are amazed that I do so well. You know, I go above and beyond. And in this place, no matter how hard I'm trying, it's like I'm going backwards, and I feel just beat up. I'm just not sure.
Well, I guess I'm wondering. I mean, you're asking, how do you stop, you know, putting kind of getting your worth from your work? But you feel beat up because you're being beat up, right? I mean, so I wonder, is that, you know, do you need to kind of recognize that this work culture is kind of toxic for you, and do what you can to look for another position, or are you really saying that you think that you're taking the feedback they're giving you too, not seriously, but you know what I mean, like, you're letting it weigh on you too much?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's probably that I allow it to weigh on me too much. I mean, I don't know where to go or what to do. I don't want to change jobs again in my late stage career, but I mean, if something came up, if God opened a door that I could find something different, then I certainly would. But at this point, I really don't want to change jobs.
Well, so a couple of thoughts. Let's talk a little bit about how to survive while you're there and how to discern what God might have in store for you otherwise. You know, I think I can understand why you wouldn't want to change, and I'm not suggesting that you have to change. I think, you know, it's important, though, to not deny what our feelings are telling us, right? So, you know, hard things are hard, and sad things are sad, and, you know, unjust things create anger. And if you're being beat up, you're going to feel beat up, right? And you shouldn't have to subject yourself to that. Now, I don't know enough about the context, and I don't have the time to get into it, unfortunately, but you know, if this is kind of one of those situations where the management, you know, has a brusque style, but, you know, it kind of goes away as quickly as it comes, and you just have to learn to kind of deal with that, that's one thing. It's another thing if you're kind of always living in fear of, you know, failing somehow or being reviewed poorly, you know, and it negatively affecting your career. So I want you to be praying about that, but in terms of how to receive that feedback that's delivered poorly by management, and how not to take that to heart so much, you know, it's really important that when we make a mistake or we mess up or other people disapprove of us, to kind of look at that not as a pass or fail, right, but rather as a lesson. It's like, okay, well, I can learn to do better. This is something that I can improve upon, and to not base my worth on whether they approve of me or not, but base it on, you know, am I doing my best and am I learning from my mistakes? And if so, then I'm doing what I need to do. And to be able to, I think it's important to be able to see that when other people treat us poorly, that says really more about where they're at than it does about us. Well, let me explain what I mean by that. In our pastoral counseling practice, we talk about the difference between the adult self and the child self mindsets. And when we're in our adult self, we can see a problem and respond to it proactively, charitably, respectfully, effectively. When we're in our child self, we tend to either tantrum, lecture, or avoid. And what it sounds like this person who is your supervisor tends to be more in that tantruming and lecturing persona. which means that he's operating out of his reactive brain, his limbic system, where he's just reacting to things rather than really problem solving in his adult self place and coming alongside of you and saying, hey, Teresa, let's work this out together. Here's what I'd like to see moving forward. And we can't fix that, right? If somebody else is in that limbic child self misery-making mindset, I can't fix that. I have to see what they're saying to me through that lens, that they're not in their best place, so I'm going to listen to what I can take from this and reject what I can't. You know, I'm going to reject the part of this message that is coming out of that negative headspace that they're in. I'm going to take what I can take from it constructively to be able to learn and do better next time. So that's what you're going to really have to focus on in order to survive in your workplace. In terms of changing, I understand why you wouldn't want to change, but I think we always need to be receptive to what God might want for us. And so I think it's important to be praying every day. Lord, help me to make the best out of the situation that I'm in right here, but if there are other situations that you'd like me to take advantage of that would be better, that would be a better fit for me, that would be a better opportunity to use my gifts and talents to bless you and to make a positive difference in the world and the people around me, please help me to find that, because I want to be where you want to plant me. And be open to that possibility. So, and that means kind of keeping your eyes open for other opportunities and praying about those, not necessarily because you want to, but because you want to be open to where the Holy Spirit might be leading you ultimately. So I think those two suggestions will help you kind of frame the feedback that you're getting now and also discern what God might want for you in the future. We talk more about this in my book, The Life God Wants You to Have, which is all about discovering God's plan when our own plans aren't working out so well. Again, The Life God Wants You to Have. You can pick it up at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. And Teresa, if there's more that I can do for you, we can do for you once you've tried some of these suggestions, don't hesitate to call us back here on the program or reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks so much for the call. 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Me in the Mirror. We're talking about what it means for a Christian to love himself or herself. You know, again, a lot of us feel a little uncomfortable even with the phrase because it sounds prideful. But God does want us to love ourselves, and he does want us to see ourselves through his eyes. What does that mean for you? And what gets in the way of you being able to do that? Let's talk it out and help you move past those obstacles so you can start loving yourself as God loves you. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls. Plus, we'll be joined by Rachel Isaac, a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, who'll be sharing some insights on what it really means to love ourselves as Christians. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Want to celebrate some amazing anniversaries this year in France? We'll visit Normandy Beach to celebrate our heroic military for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. Also, the 100th anniversary of the canonization of St. Teresa of Lisieux. Join us this October for our Saints and Shrines of France and a visit to the newly renovated Notre Dame Cathedral.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Me in the Mirror, as we talk about the struggle we all have with loving ourselves as God loves us. Let's talk about what it means to love ourselves and overcome the obstacles that stand in the way of accomplishing that in your life. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, where she specializes in the psychology of success and directs CatholicCounselors.com's program for performance excellence, where she works with Catholic performers, athletes, executives, and others who need to be their best under pressure. Rachel, welcome to More to Life. I think I need some of your coaching right now to even get your bio out there.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
Great to be here.
Well, you work with a lot of people on the topic of building confidence. What's one of the biggest challenges you see when it comes to acknowledging our self-worth?
Well, when I'm working with people on building confidence, one of the biggest and kind of first objections that I usually get is something along the lines of, I don't feel like I can acknowledge my strengths or say good things about myself because I want to be humble, and that's not humble. And there's a few things that I would say to this. One, we really need to redefine both what true confidence and true humility is. So we tend to think that confidence means being boastful, and humility, honestly, ends up meaning degrading ourselves or thinking less of ourselves. But the truth is, confidence and humility in their true form actually go hand in hand. So my favorite way to sort of summarize what true confidence is that confidence isn't about walking into a room thinking you're better than anyone. It's about walking into a room and not having to compare yourself to anyone at all. And humility is not about degrading ourselves. It's about not thinking we're better than anyone, or anyone else is better than us, for that matter. And when we think about it this way, confidence and humility coexist beautifully. The second thing that I think is important here is that when we fall into this kind of false sense of confidence and humility, we think we either need to have it together all the time, or we think we need to focus on all the things that we're not or we're not enough of to be able to, quote, get better. But with true confidence and true humility, we're called to recognize who we are, the strengths that we have, the qualities that God's given us. Because if we don't recognize our strengths and who we are, then how do we use those strengths and gifts? I think St. Catherine of Siena said it best, be who God meant you to be, and you'll set the world on fire. How do we do that if we don't recognize who God created us to be, if we don't acknowledge our strengths and gifts and talents so that we can actually use them to be effective, to work for the good of ourselves and others, and to glorify God? So recognizing our strengths, speaking kindly to ourselves, and acknowledging the things we do well is not about being boastful. It's about having that true confidence that God created us to have so we can glorify Him and witness that peaceful self-assurance and confidence in God that will ultimately lead others to Him as well.
You know, as I'm reflecting on what you're saying, I'm just sort of thinking about it personally. And you know, when I meet a new client or every day on the show, you know, I don't know what that person's going to say. I don't know what's going to happen on the show. I have, and in that sense, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I need to do, right? But I do know that God has given me gifts and talents and abilities, and He's giving me the grace to rise to the challenge that person, that client presents to me, or those callers present, or that whatever situation happens. And I can be confident, which literally means with faith, right? Confidence, confide, means with faith. And so I can approach that situation with the faith that God is standing with me, and He's given me the tools to respond to whatever it is. And so, in a sense, that confidence is really more about glorifying God than it is about glorifying myself.
100%. It absolutely is. And I think it's that reminder, too, that allows us to, you know, again, move from that sort of false sense of confidence that thinks I have to have it together all the time, and allows us to move to that true sense of confidence that, yeah, says, you know, God's with me, and we're going to figure this out together. And, you know, He's going to guide those steps. And again, absolutely, it's not about, you know, being better than anybody else. It's just about being who God created me to be and allowing myself to, like, trust myself and trust God that He's going to work through me and those strengths that He's given me.
Doesn't a lot of this get ramped up, supercharged by actually not just saying, okay, I'm going to trust God, but actually going to God and having conversations with him every day and saying, Lord, show me what my gifts are. Show me how to strengthen my gifts in a way that glorifies you. We really need to bring him into this in some way, don't we?
100%. And honestly, I think about this a lot. One of the other examples that I use a lot is that we are the only thing or person that we describe based off of what it's not and accept it as though it makes sense.
Oh, wow.
So I wouldn't describe, you know, a flower to you based on all the things that it's not and ever expect you to figure out what I'm talking about. Right. But we do that to ourselves all the time. And again, accept it as though it makes sense. And if we can instead kind of go to God, like you're saying, and say, you know, remind me who I am. Remind me the strengths and qualities that you created me with, the same way you created that flower with all of those qualities. What are the strengths and qualities that you created me with so that I can define myself based on who I am and what I am, not what I'm not? Because, again, that doesn't make sense to describe anything else based on what it's not, and it doesn't make sense for us to describe ourselves based on what we're not, because it just makes us feel powerless and stuck and overwhelmed. But if we go to God and have him show us who we are, well, now I have clarity. Now I have that faith, that confidence, and that trust.
Amen. Powerful note to go out on. And if folks would like to learn more about Rachel Isaac's good work, come on over to CatholicCounselors.com and check out our program in performance excellence. It's CatholicCounselors.com. And we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. The title of the show, Me in the Mirror, as we talk about struggling to love ourselves. We want to help you see yourself through God's eyes and celebrate your dignity as a beloved child of God. 877-573-7825. Stick around.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. St. John the Apostle records the John chapter 6 Bread of Life discourse, in which Jesus states that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. Who better to understand John's writings and subsequent teachings than a disciple and student of John, St. Ignatius of Antioch? In his letter to the Smyrnians in 110 AD, Ignatius writes, "I have no taste for corruptible food, nor for the pleasures of this life. I desire the bread of God, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ. And for drink, I desire his blood, which is love incorruptible." The Catholic Church absolutely follows St. John and St. Ignatius in taking Jesus at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
He is honored by the Church as a saint with the title of the Angelic Doctor.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Thomas Aquinas wrote a basic textbook for young theology students that became the Church's most famous guide to the faith, the Summa Theologica. It helped him earn the title Doctor of the Church. He died in 1274.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Hey men, did you know that you're called to lead couple prayer in your marriage? You might have the most amazing individual prayer life, but how is it possible to have a godly marriage if you and your wife don't submit yourselves to God in prayer on a daily basis? If you go off and pray by yourself and then tell your wife what you heard, how is that not setting yourself up as some kind of anointed oracle in your home? Yes, it's a good first step, but it's only the first step. Bring your bride to pray with you and ask God to teach you both how to love each other the way He wants you to love each other. Let her see you humbling yourself before God, and she'll give you her heart in ways you never dreamed possible. To learn more, check out my book, The Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the show is titled Me in the Mirror. We're talking about that experience of kind of looking at ourselves either in the literal or metaphorical mirror and seeing all of our weaknesses and all of our brokenness and all the things we don't like about ourselves. And how do we get past that so that we can see ourselves through God's eyes and celebrate our dignity and worth as beloved sons and daughters of God? What makes it hard for you to love yourself the way God wants you to? Maybe you're upset with yourself for mistakes you've made or past sins you've committed. Maybe you're frustrated with yourself because you keep failing to make a change that you want to make. Maybe you keep hearing negative thoughts that tear you down, or voices in your head of your parents or past romantic partners or other people who have told you you'll never be enough. Maybe it's someone you care about who's running themselves down. Your child beating up on themselves because they didn't do well at the game or the recital or on that test. Maybe it's your spouse who is having a hard time accepting your love because they feel unlovable for some reason. However this challenge to love ourselves is impacting your life or the life of those you love, let's talk about what it takes to move past that so that we really can love ourselves the way God loves us. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, Crystal, who is listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio, called in. She couldn't stay on after the break, but it's an important question, and I think we really need to answer it. She said, I feel like I failed because of how my kids turned out.
Crystal, thank you so much for the call, and I appreciate the question. And I really wanted to take it because I know that there are lots of other listeners who are in the same boat. But here's the thing. Now, when people say this, the easy answer that they always get, the easy response is, well, you know, kids have their own free will, and we did the best that we could, and they just had to, you know, they made their own choices. And that's true as far as it goes. But it doesn't really answer the deeper question that you're asking here. What does it mean to love ourselves when we feel that we didn't do everything that we could have or should have done, especially in parenting? Well, let's go back to our reflection at the beginning of the show, where we talked about what it really means to love ourselves, right? So loving ourselves doesn't mean saying, I have no flaws, I've never made any mistakes, I'm fine just the way I am. Loving ourselves means acknowledging the things that we might have done differently, the things that we wish we, you know, could change, and committing to working toward those things. Because loving ourselves, or loving anybody, means working for that person's ultimate good. So if we're going to love ourselves, we're going to cooperate with God's grace to work for our ultimate good. And if we look at our adult kids and say, well, they're not the faithful people I raised them to be, or they have problems that I didn't want them to have that I see are somehow rooted in the experiences they had growing up.
Or they made choices that I never ever wanted for them, and somehow I didn't convey all of their self-worth to them that I wanted them to have.
Loving myself in those cases does not mean blaming myself for their choices, but it does mean saying, what can I do to learn from these experiences and grow the way God wants me to in the face of those experiences? So for instance, you know, if I see that my kids were negatively affected by the marriage that I had, then what do I need to do to work on my marriage now to heal that so that I could be a more effective witness? If I see that I didn't help my kids develop a personal relationship with the Lord, what can I do now to both witness to my own personal relationship with the Lord and do a better job connecting them in that way? The point is, as I look at these things, Crystal, as you look at your relationship with your adult kids, instead of blaming yourself or criticizing yourself or beating up on yourself for what you feel like you didn't or did do, asking God to help you know how to respond to those challenges now so that you can grow in the ways that God wants you to grow, and you can help your kids heal and grow in the ways that God wants you to be a part of their healing and growth now. Because the enemy just wants you to say, well, Crystal, you failed, and then sit there in your brokenness and not do anything to help them. But God wants you to be able to look at those things and say, God's not done with me yet.
Or your kids.
And he wants to to help me grow and heal, and he wants to continue to use me as an instrument of growth and healing in my adult children's lives. What can I do to cooperate with that grace now? That's the important question, and that's what it means to love yourself, to be able to say that I can see the things that I wish I had done differently, but even more importantly, I can see what I can do now through God's grace to be an effective instrument of grace in their lives and in my life. And the more you can embrace that mission, the more you're embracing what it means to love yourself.
And you don't have to do it on your own. You know, this is something that has several parts. One, you start recognizing what we're saying here, which is, okay, not thrilled with some of the things and how they went down in the past. I want to work and use the gifts God's giving me to make it better in the future. Two, you take it to God and you say, Lord, I know I'm not a complete waste of your energy and time in creating me. What do you need me to do now? Even though my energy is drained, I'm exhausted, I'm sad about some of this, it scares me. What steps do you want me to take? Show me what gifts you want me to use, what virtues you want me to use. It could be compassion. It could be, you know, courage. It could be a lot of different things depending on your relationship with your children. So really lean into him and asking him to guide you every single day. Could be several times a day as you're working through this. Be asking God to reveal those things to you and give you the gifts you need to move forward. And third, and this is important, go to your kids and say, hey, there's some things that didn't go as well as I wanted them to when I was raising you. But I love you. I see everything you are and everything you're created to be. Is there something you need from me in our relationship to help you become everything God wants you to be? And I mean that in a relational way. If they say, yeah, sure, Mom, give me $1 million. I can, yeah. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about how do we heal the relationship between you and them? And how do your kids begin to see their sense, get the sense that God loves them and that you love them? So really asking them, what do you need from me to heal our relationship, to make things better, to help you be everything I know God created you to be? And not in an accusatory way, in a truly loving and reconciling way.
We actually talk through the steps of doing this in our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. It's a book that doesn't just talk about, you know, how to have particular discussions. It talks about how to heal our relationship with our adult kids so that they would want to receive what we want to share with them, whether that's our faith, or to be able to mentor them, our support, whatever it is. How to have meaningful, sometimes difficult conversations with our adult sons and daughters walks you step by step through how to heal what needs to be healed, how to communicate what you want to share, and how to do that in a way that your kids will be receptive to. So check it out. Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. Available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. And Crystal, thanks again for the question. And folks, by the way, you know, since we're talking about parenting, if you are looking for support because you're having a hard time feeling good about, you know, where you're at with your parenting role or feeling confident in your ability to raise Catholic kids in an increasingly faithless world, I would love for you to become part of the Catholic Home Community. And that's spelled Catholic H-O-M. It stands for Catholic Households on Mission. And it's an app, but it's not just another app or not a parenting resource. It's a game changer for Catholic families. Every day on Catholic Home, you'll get expert parent coaching to help you feel more confident in your Catholic parenting. You'll learn how to raise godly kids, handle behavior challenges with grace, strengthen your family's prayer life, and build a more loving, joyful, and connected Catholic home. You can chat daily with Lisa or myself or any of our coaches, our pastoral counselors, for real-time support, so you're never alone in facing the everyday struggles of Catholic parenting. And you can get tons of creative, faith-filled resources like monthly downloadable activities that make living the faith at home simple and fun. Our exclusive Mompotence, Bedatitudes, and Catholic Home podcasts for inspiration and encouragement. And parenting tips, videos, a professionally animated cartoon series that you can watch with your kids to learn how to be a more dynamic Catholic family. Check it all out. We'd love to support you in your journey. You can get 2 months free when you choose the annual subscription for just $149 or pay as you go for $14.95 a month. One subscription covers both you and your spouse and gives all your kids access to the activities and coaching too. So with Catholic Home, you don't have to feel overwhelmed or alone. Subscribe today wherever you get your apps and become part of the Catholic Home community. And again, that's Catholic H-O-M, stands for Catholic Households on Mission. And we hope to see you there to continue the conversation. Right now, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. The show today is titled Me in the Mirror, as we talk about the challenge we all have in loving ourselves the way God loves us. What makes it hard for you to love yourself? You know, are there past mistakes or sins you've committed that you're having a hard time getting past? Are you frustrated with yourself because you keep failing to make changes you want to make? Maybe you keep hearing negative thoughts that tear you down, or the voices in your head of your parents or past romantic partners or others that tell you you'll never be enough for whatever reason. Or for that matter, does someone you care about run themselves down and you're not sure how to support them? However the challenge to love ourselves is impacting your life and relationships, let us help you move past it and start loving yourself as God loves you. 877-573-7825. As we head to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Psalms 139, verse 14.
I praise you because I am wonderfully made. Wonderful are all your works.
This is David, of course, praising God because he sees all the wonderful things that God is doing in him and has done through him. And this is, again, a perfect example of what Rachel was talking about in her segment, about what Christian confidence looks like. I'm not glorifying myself for the good things I see in me. I'm amazed and wonder and living in wonder and awe at what God has done in me and is doing through me and wants to do with me. And that is a beautiful thing. To be able to love ourselves as God loves us, not in a puffed up way, but in a way that really gives glory to God for all the beautiful things that he has given to us and wants to do through us. Psalm 139:14. Keep it in your heart today as we reflect on what it means to love ourselves the way God loves us. And give us a call at 877-573-7825. Let's talk about what it means to overcome those obstacles that stand between us and loving ourselves the way God does. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions right after this.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
When we ask God, our Father, to deliver us from evil, are we referring to an idea or a person? We are not referring to an abstraction, says the Catholic Catechism. We are referring to a person, the evil one, Satan, the fallen angel, who throws himself across God's plan of salvation accomplished in Christ. Jesus labeled Satan a murderer, a liar, and the father of lies. We do not pray alone. We pray in communion with the Church for the whole human family. Our interdependence in the drama of sin and death is turned into solidarity in the body of Christ, the communion of saints. If one entrusts himself to God, one does not dread the devil. Victory over Satan, the prince of the world, was attained once and for all when Jesus freely gave himself over to death in order to give us his life. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I am Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today the show is titled Me in the Mirror, as we talk about, you know, what happens when we look in the literal or metaphorical mirror and kind of see all the things we don't like about ourselves. How do we get past that so that we can begin to see ourselves as God does and love ourselves as God does? What does it mean for the Christian to love themselves? And how can we get past those things that stop us from being able to celebrate our dignity and worth as beloved sons and daughters of God? 877-573-7825. Whether you are struggling to love yourself or you care about somebody who is in that struggle and you're not sure how to support them, let us help you today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. By the way, before we take our next question, if you're not able to tune in to More to Life every day, make sure that you're checking out the More to Life podcast so you don't miss any great advice in helping you live a more joyful and abundant life and have healthier, holier relationships. Check out the More to Life podcast wherever you get your podcasts, especially at EWTN Podcast Central.
And remember to share it with those you care about.
With that, we're taking your calls right now, 877-573-7825, or questions at moretoliferadio.com.
Well, Greg, we have a very important question here from Leah, who is listening to EWTN Radio in Virginia on Guadalupe Radio. She said, we homeschool our children, and we really wanted a good Catholic curriculum. We're both very new to the Catholic Church. We both reverted before we got married. And it was really important to us to give our children a solid Catholic foundation. We ended up choosing a very highly recommended curriculum, and our oldest son, who's 7, finished his first year and his sacramental preparation this year. He made his first confession and his first communion in the spring, and now we're taking the summer break. But we've been seeing him start to run himself down and making a lot out of any mistakes he makes, and being very concerned if he committed a sin or if he, and then he asks if he can go to confession sometimes more than once a week because he feels so badly. We don't know what to do about this. It really seemed to start with the curriculum we were using. My husband and I would often talk at night about how this seemed a little harsh or a little intense, but we both said, well, what do we know? We just became Catholics a few years ago ourselves, so we should just stick with it. Now we are really concerned that he just doesn't ever seem to think he's good enough and always kind of leans towards running himself down, and we're really starting to be concerned. What can we do? And that's Leah in Virginia.
All right, Leah, thank you so much for the question. So, you know, I'm aware of, you know, different homeschooling careers. We're a homeschooling family, and we've been involved in homeschooling circles for years. And I know that there are some programs that have, when they're teaching sacramental prep, especially for first confession, they have examinations of conscience, which can be difficult for some kids to handle because they are more adult. Designed for adults' reflection as opposed to kids' reflection. And they mean well, but for some kids, it's just too much. And it can produce a kind of a scrupulous personality. And so it sounds like that's kind of what's happening here. So I won't comment on whether you should keep using the curriculum itself or not, because, you know, like I said, it different curriculums work for different people. But in terms of how to help him now, you know, I think it's really, and St. Ignatius talked about this. St. Ignatius, by the way, struggled with scrupulosity. And he, a lot of his work on discernment and discernment of spirits came out of his own struggle with scrupulosity and how God healed him of it. And one of the things that he talks about when we do an examination of conscience, the first thing that we need to do is really root ourselves in God's love. You know, we can't go and confront the enemy. You know, whether we're talking about the enemy outside of us or the enemy that's operating inside of us in our own sinfulness, without the armor of God being God's love, right? Because we're not fighting those sins on our own. We're recognizing how much God loves us and how He wants us to love others. And sin, by the way, is a word that means missing the mark. It's an old English archery term that means missing the mark. And so to sin just means that we haven't loved the way God wants us to. We haven't loved God or ourselves or others the way he wants us to. That's what sin is. And so I want you to help your son understand that, that it's not about checking boxes or passing the test. It's about learning how to love. And we do examinations of conscience not to make ourselves feel miserable or condemn ourselves, but to be able to improve our aim, right? So let's keep this up. Let's imagine you were an Olympic archer, right? And you're aiming for the target, and you don't hit exactly, you don't hit exactly where you want to hit. You know, do you then, you know, beat yourself up and flog yourself and say, oh, I can't do this. What's wrong with me? How terrible I am. I mean, if we did that, we would never be able to shoot any better the next time. Right? But a lot of us feel like we have to put ourselves through that process of making ourselves miserable and degrading ourselves as a sign of recognizing that we've done something wrong. The best way for a Christian to respond to missing the mark, i.e. sinning, is to say, how can I cooperate with God's grace to aim better next time? And that's really what we want to do, is help your son realize that the goal here isn't saying, ah, I can't believe I missed it, what's wrong with me? It's, well, how can I do better next time? How can I cooperate with the grace that God has given me to be more of the person he wants me to be?
Well, and to continue your metaphor, Greg, of this, you know, the comparison of the Olympic athlete compared to, you know, somebody who's just running themselves down, one of the things that any good athlete will do in knowing that they have to say, what can I do to improve this next time, is that before they undertake any competition, they're running through all the things they should be doing in their head. You'll see even their bodies move with it. They're practicing before they actually go out there and have to do the task again. So don't just sort of tell your child this, but really look at those moments where he's starting to melt down, even if it's something like, you know, he's drawing a picture and it doesn't turn out the way he wanted it to. Really looking at it and saying, well, sweetheart, what can we do instead? Okay, you put this squiggle here. Can we turn it into a cloud? Or it's over here. Can we turn this into a flower in your picture? What do you think you can do to take this thing that you don't like about it and change it into something good? Walking through that, being there while he does it. Same thing with behaviors. Oh, you know, you were harsh with your little brother. What can we do right now so that you guys can get along better? Let's practice that together. Giving him the support he needs to practice and know that he can do this, everything that he wants to do, with God's grace and your support.
I would say that this is the exactly the kind of thing that we help parents deal with every day on Catholic Home. That's Catholic H-O-M, stands for Households on Mission. So I'd invite you to follow up and become part of the Catholic Home community by downloading the Catholic Home app today. And you can get ongoing coaching on this issue, get tons of great resources to really help form your son in the faith and help him understand the whole idea of reconciliation in the context of love as opposed to condemnation. Because we do see this an awful lot. In fact, we get quite a few families who contact us through CatholicCounselors.com who will bring in their children who have kind of gone through a similar experience as your son, especially when they start hitting adolescence and they start having sexual feelings and those kinds of things. They can often, as if they've been raised with this more heavy-handed examination of conscience, which is really more designed for adults than kids, that can really cause a lot of scrupulosity for kids. So we deal with this a lot through the practice, and we can help you at Catholic Home in managing this and other issues, or through CatholicCounselors.com to get more personalized skills to overcome it. And that goes for you listeners as well. As you've been tuning in today and listening to this idea of what it means for a Christian to truly love him or herself and really experience God's love and celebrate our dignity and worth as beloved sons and daughters of God, if you're thinking, well, you know, that sounds great for lots of other people, but I'm not quite sure how to do that for me, well, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, because we want to help you overcome those challenges that are separating you from that sense of God's love, from that sense of his mercy, from that sense of the abundant grace that he wants to give you, so that you, like St. Paul, can say, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. What a beautiful thing to be able to say, I can look at my weaknesses and love myself because I see that God still wants to do amazing things with me and in me and through me. Let us help you do that. CatholicCounselors.com will hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.